We continue to look at the Joshua chapter, the fourth time of the Joshua chapter, from chapter 13 to 24. So, be the pioneer, not the blamer and complainer. So, until last week, we have gone through the first half of the Joshua over 3 weeks' time. So when you read a book, the first part is very important to understand the entire book, because it's explained about where, what, and why, and things that happen, and the stories proceed in the second half. So up to chapter 12, battle in the middle past southern northern part of Canaan, Israel won the most of the important region of the Canaan. So the things we shouldn't forget, even though they conquered the major territories, they still the remainder of the existing, the previous Canaanites. There are resistance from the many territories and regions. So continue from chapter 13, Israel divide the land, still to be taken to 9 other tribes of Israel. The scripture is mentioning Joshua is very old, and the land is still to be taken. The land to be taken is the promised land. If you look at the map, so to the southern part up to the Egypt, and the eastern part up to the Euphrates River, which is a promise to the Abraham, their ancestor of the Israel. So mainly those white part is a promise to the Abraham, and at the moment what actually they conquered by the Joshua and his army is where the green part you can see. So there are different interpretations about boundary of land God promised to Israel, referring to the Genesis chapter 15. The land promised to Abraham was from the Euphrates River to the eastern part of Egypt, Wadi El Arish River. The mainly the white part, and the area marked in the light green on the screen is the land conquered by the Joshua. So in chapter 13 listed the territories not yet conquered, mainly Geshur, the eastern part of Galilee, the territories of Philistine, certain part near the Mediterranean Sea, the territory of Sidonians, northern part near the Lebanon. The Israel definitely won major battles. Victory in the central, southern, northern region of the Canaan. There were still many tribes in Canaan to be destroyed or to be overthrown. So God says that He will drive them out of this land. In chapter 13, verse 6, He continued to encourage the Israel, to complete the mission until the end. And now the initiative of the Canaan has completely passed over to Israel, completely passed over to the Israel. So God distributed the territory to each tribe to complete the mission to obey God's command by reaching many corners of Canaan. Even though Joshua has only been fighting for about 7 years, why God said he is too old and commanded to pass the rest of the mission to each tribe. So if you look at the history, Moses led Israel from the Exodus to Egypt to the border of Canaan over 40 years. It seemed to be difficult to conquer the land of Canaan without his leadership. So God made him to pass Joshua the mission to conquer the Canaan. So it has been only 7 years in conquering war. The reason that God distributed each tribe the mission to conquer might be the same reason as God replaced Moses by Joshua. So God's mission is not to be done by certain man and his capability and power, but to be done by God himself. So, is it not impossible to battle in Canaan without Moses? Is it impossible to conquer the Canaan without Joshua? So, without certain men, without certain pastor, without certain leader and a member, the mission given from God and His church never stops. So we don't know who's the person, but as long as there is a person who obeys to the word of God and live according to the word of God, God continues His mission through the person. We all remember the David, who was a youth, knocked down the Goliath, the mighty giant, who had put Israel army in fear, but knocked down by David's shepherd sling. Moses, an elderly man with the age of 80, also led Israel over 3 million people from Egypt to the entrance of the promised land. So no matter a child, an old man, a poor man, a rich man, a man of authority, or a shepherd, through those who believe and obey God's call, God is doing His work sovereignly. So even though man living a long life, it's 100 years. So this limited life cannot carry God's mission for the eternal life. So that's why God is continue Himself carry this mission by the man who obeyed to His word of God. His word. So never forget this fact. Do not give up when you meet any difficulties in the way of mission. So let's try to be the faithful and obedient people God is looking for. So God now leave the mission to each tribe and each man. So if we compare to our church today, that could be zone and the cell. How could it be possible to be a MCC church as it is today? Because God fought for us. God led us. Now God gives the mission to the cell and the zone to share the will of God and gospel to all its region, every corner of the world and suburb. So God has entrusted to each church, each cell, and zone to lead the priesthood. So I want you to learn this in the history of distribution of the land. The situation in of the surround the Israel is facing now, still in the battle over 7 years, with the resistance of many enemies in each distributed territories. So it is not easy to battle over 7 years constantly, like the word we say. It's like our spiritual warfare today. We all Christians as a God's army are to fight constantly against all the sweet temptation of the world and its convenience for the will of God, like an army of Joshua. So if Christians give up the fight for the will of God, soon after, they are all overwhelmed by the secular culture and end up following man's instincts and greediness, like the culture of the Egyptian and the Canaanites. So after victory in big battles, people want to compromise and end up faster and easy. So Israel seemed to end the battle and settle easily rather than destroy enemy completely. So the strong mission mind is getting weaker, because once they taste the victory in the big battles and could overwhelm all the other tribes. This is a story of the chapter 13 to 19. The kind of story we can read it. But if you look at the chapter 14, we all remember the Caleb. He reappeared in the tribe of Judah, asked Joshua to give him the hill country, which seemed the hardest to conquer. While the most other tribes tried to avoid the difficult territories, because they had an iron chariot and a giant. But on the other hand, Caleb, who had the attitude as God wanted, showed his faithful attitude. Caleb was 85 years old. The Caleb seems the descendant of Esau. He had Exodus together and became spiritual family. And especially he joined the tribe of Judah. So if based on Genesis chapter 36 verse 11, 15, chapter 40, 42, it makes us to guess Caleb is a descendant of the Esau. So if you see read the story, and Caleb came out of the Egypt together with all the Israelites, even though we don't know when it was, and they went to the Egypt in some times. The community of God is spiritual community, not the biological community, based on Caleb's story. So that is why we all Gentile can be God's children and become a body of the Christ on the same mission as a spiritual family. So the most important thing for all Christians is neither the age nor the circumstances, but the faith. All other tribes scared the giants and their iron chariot. However, Caleb asked the land of hill country by the faith that there is nothing impossible if God and His promise is with him. So as his 40s, when he was spying the land of Canaan, and now he's at 85, we can see he kept the faith as it had been. So how do you deal with the problem in your faith journey? Even in our Christian lives, there are always problems and the matters. Even more problems when we try to live according to His command. What kind of word and behavior do you normally use, speak, and take? Do you ask the land of rough hill country like a Caleb or comfortable plain land? The faithful man knows the comfortable way is not the benefit for his spiritual journey. So rather than walking on the convenient wide path, prepare to walk on the narrow path, which he needs God's help always due to his difficulties around. So I hope you live a life of mission instead of a surrender to the circumstance and attack of the world. Rather be like a Caleb to live a life of obedience regardless of the difficulties. Try to ride a big wave. Looking for a big wave which you cannot live without God. So one day I want you to confess, even though there was difficulties and big waves because of the problem, I had to hold on to the God, I had to live with God, I couldn't leave the God. So chapter 15 is the story of the division and especially the land assigned to the tribe of Judah. It might be because of the Caleb and his spiritual vision and a will to have a battle of the faith, they became to possess the biggest key territory compared to the other tribes. So chapter 16-17 is about descendant of Joseph, the Manasseh and Ephraim. The territory assigned to the Ephraim and the Manasseh, half tribe of the Manasseh, compared to the Caleb in the tribe of Judah, they had an opposite attitude to complain rather than overcome about strong enemy with their chariot. But Joshua clearly said, two tribes to fight and drive the enemy out of the land. This shows us the attitude how to deal with the difficult matter in our given situation and circumstances. Chapter 17, verse 18. The hill country will be yours. Even though it is forest, you will clear it and take possession of it from one end to the other. As for the Canaanites, you will drive them out, even though they do have iron chariots and are strong people. The place hard to conquer, in other words, once you conquer, no one else can. defeat you. How can they defeat strong enemy? How? It is a firm belief in the promise that God will overcome the enemies, and the fight that against the visible fears and the fear that disturbs the mind. It is possible to choose the obedience of faith and take one step at a time. The choice of faith is not a positive thinking. That thing will be done as my wish. It is choice to believe that the faithfulness of God will be fulfilled according to the promise God has made. The Hebrew chapter 11 verse 23. This is the attitude we should have as a messenger of mission, regardless the circumstances around us. Do not complain about difficult relationship, making excuses, and complaining and blaming. With this courage, we go for a battle with obedience. The chapter 18 is continuing the division of the land. There are still 7 tribes not yet received the land. From the verse 11 is about the assigned territory of Benjamin. From chapter 19, verse 1 is a territory assigned to the tribe of Simeon. The second assignment made was for the family of the tribe of Simeon. Its territory extended into the land assigned to the tribe of Judah. The reason that Simeon did not receive independent territory, but just a few villages from the tribe of Judah, was they were the smallest tribe among the 12 tribes based on second census. The population of the tribe of Simeon was 22,200. They were small tribe in the past. They were not the small tribe in the past. On the first census, the tribe of Simeon was the third biggest tribe, followed by Judah and Dan. But if you look at the Numbers chapter 25, because of the Bar of Peor incident, which worshiped Moabite idol after Israel had a sexual intercourse with Moabite women during the wandering in the wilderness. They were punished by God for the sin and decreased the number remarkably. So by the result, the tribe of Simeon used to live in the territory of Judah in the beginning, but later many of them moved to the northern part in the territories of the Ephraim and the Manasseh. So after kingdom divide, north and south later, Simeon belongs to the northern Israel, north Israel. So the tribe of Simeon is the example when you follow your ambition, your greediness, they end up disappearing while all other tribe is growing who obey to the word of God. This is like a loss of compromise in our Christian life. We shouldn't ignore the trend and the generation changing, but the gospel still they shouldn't be changing. From verse 10, the land of Zebulun. From the verse 17, the territory assigned to Issachar. From the verse 24, the territory assigned to Asher. From the verse 32, the territory assigned to Naphtali. And verse 40, the territory assigned to the Dan. The territory of Dan was between the Judah in north and Ephraim in the south, Benjamin in the east, Mediterranean Sea in the west. If you look at the map, the territory of Dan was a very fertile land. There were Amorites and Philistines. Dan couldn't drive them out and had difficulty in settle. So later Dan leave the territory and moved to the northern part of the Sea of Galilee and attacked the Laish and took the land and renamed to the Dan and settled there. So chapter 19, verse 47, and also Judges, chapter 18. So when you read the Bible, from the Dan to Beersheba is the you often read, because this is because the reason. So it might be a little bit bored when you listen this area and sub-territory and names, but if you have this understanding, and you can understand the easier and the better why after they even assign the land and they move to the other area. The lesson from the history of dividing land is how to obey and live in the land of mission where people sent to. Because it is still clear the commandment of God is to destroy the people completely in Canaan and the territories to be taken as a sword of God's judgment. We can read such a record in many verses. Couldn't drive out is different from didn't drive out. But if you look at the verses, scripture, look at the chapter 13, verse 13. However, the Israelites did not drive out the people of Geshur, Makkah. They still live in Israel. And chapter 15, verse 63. But the people of Judah were not able to drive out the Jebusites who live in Jerusalem. The Jebusites still live there with the people of Judah. Chapter 16, verse 10. They did not drive out the Canaanites who live in Gaza. So they did not drive out, which is different from the above when the Judah were not able to drive out. Couldn't drive out, but here they did not drive out the Canaanites who live in Gaza. So the Canaanites had lived among the Ephraimites to this day, but they have been forced to work as slaves. Chapter 17, verse 12, the people of Manasseh, however, were not able to drive out the people living in those cities. So the Canaanites continued to live there. The mission to completely destroy the people in Canaan is given to the each tribe in the assigned territories. But you can see the result is different from the commandment of God. The people of Canaan seem to be powerless people, like a slave at the time when they were conquered. They were the people to be ignored like a slave, but later in the history, those people in Canaan bring Israel to serve idol. People normally obey imperfectly, not the complete obedience. So in the beginning, as we shared, during the gold rush, the people in Australia, the Australia miner, they dig. When they dig, and they give up when they couldn't find the gold. And a Chinese migrant miner, and they just took over and dig a bit more, and they found a gold. And the end of one of the massacre happened because they killed jealous and killed all those Chinese miner. So this is a kind of also the example of today. We obey, but 99%, 90%, not enough obedient, not imperfect obedient. So people today in the church looking for the grace and blessing, but not concerning much about repent and change the value and live according to the word. Not giving the priority to learn the word of God. So people get used to the religious practice in the church, but they are not good enough to having a relationship with God. So there are examples in the Bible scripture. Bible warned with the example of 10 bridesmaids waiting for the groom, and five get into the wedding and five couldn't. Two men work on the field, one is taken to heaven and the other remain. Why? We can be perishing even in the land God promised and gave us. Why? So Joshua clearly saying this is because of imperfect obedience. So imperfect obedience is like forgetting the mission, which is the disobedience. They're desperate for the grace, but not interested in living according to the word of God by repenting sinful life. Imperfect obedience leave the sin behind. And this seed of the sin is growing as a Goliath or Delilah, which threatened Israel. God gave us the love, giving up even His one and only Son's life. But don't you live a life with the imperfect obedience, living the seed of the sin? What kind of life are you living now? By the atonement of the blood of Christ, we are all saved and sent to live a priesthood in this land. But how do you live your priesthood? I hope you live according to the mission with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind with perfect obedience. In the chapter 20, the 6 cities of refuge are chosen, as it is commanded in chapter 35. So when a man unintentionally kills someone to avoid get killed until he gets the fair judgment, prevent them from the revenge without the judgment. It is like a police station today. Chapter 21 is a story of the city of the Leviticus who did not receive the land and live among the all other tribes. So in the PowerPoint, you can see that how the descendant and where the descendant of the Kohat, Gerson, and Merari, and their descendant is leave and settle. Chapter 22 is a story about three tribes, Reuben and Gad and a half tribe of the Manasseh, who received the eastern part of Jordan River and going back to their home. So the three tribes who received the eastern part of Jordan River, they worry about in the future, probably they not regarded as the same Israelites, so they set up the altar to remember and remind they are all same Israelites. But the rest of the tribe on the western part of the Jordan River and misunderstood this incident, and they think they are rebellious to the God and set up the altar for the idol, and they came to fight. So in the beginning of the settlement, all the Israelites had a heart to live sensitively according to the word of God and their mission. But after Joshua, and the generation is the judges, and you can see how they forgetful. Even though in the beginning of settle of the land of Canaan, they were so determined and willing to live according to the word of God. And when this generation died and passed away, and the following generation is the no one remember in the book of Judges. Chapter 23 is a Joshua farewell address. Address it. So he's sharing his wisdom and a lesson he learned throughout his over 100 years of life to all the Israel and encouraged all each tribe of the Israel as God encouraged the Israelites. Based on what he's saying, even though the land is assigned to each tribe about 8 years ago, and still is not yet completed, the conquering all the territories. So the Lord your God will make them retreat from you and he will drive them away as you advance. You shall have their land, as the Lord your God has promised you. So be careful to obey and do everything that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Do not neglect any part of it. So follow the word of God without addition and an omission. This is what Joshua is telling the Israelites at his last moment. Many people in the world, when you say you are the Christian, they think they are very religious and narrow-minded and not interested in you, man. And the world prefers the man who has the more power of money and power of authority. But what Bible said, the people live according, the person live, the man live according to the word of God, is the most powerful man and valuable man. Chapter 23, verse 10 says, any one of you can make 1,000 men run away, because the Lord your God is fighting for you, just as he promised. How exciting it is. We often see in the movie one man fight against the 10. But actually, the promise of God is one can fight against 1,000. Chapter 23, verse 11. Love your God. God never treats people like a dog or a robot. Never try to manipulate the people. This is not the order. Loving God with all your heart, it's not the order to the robot. Do not be deceived by the secular value and the beauty of this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 said, do not love the world and things in the world. Whoever loves the world, there is no love of Father. I want you not to copy the world and live as a creature of God and for his purpose. God gave a mission from Moses to Joshua and Joshua to us. Like a Daniel, even though I am captive, I live according to the word of God. I want you to determine, like a Daniel, like a Moses, like a Joshua. So Joshua, born in Egypt and lived 110 years old. And at his last minute, he's saying and giving this lesson to the Israel. Chapter 23, verse 7, Joshua said, and then you will not associate with these people left among you, or speak the name of their gods, or use those names in taking vows, or worship those gods, or bow down to them. Instead, be faithful to the Lord as you have been till now. The Lord has driven great and powerful nations out as you advanced. And no one has ever been able to stand against you. Any one of you can make 1,000 men run away. Because the Lord your God is fighting for you, just as promised. The last week we learned about the tribe of Gibeon. They seemed to be weak, but actually they were evil doers. Because Joshua and the Israelites, they deceived. They were deceived and worshipped the idol in the future. Think about the virus and the cancer. Even the small cancer cell, you spend millions of money. Lost most of the money to kill those small cells. Why? Because sin is like a cancer cell. Chapter 23, verse 16 says, if you do not keep the covenant which the Lord your God commanded you to keep, and if you serve and worship other gods, then in his anger he will punish you, and soon none of you will be left in this good land that he has given you. The scripture said, even though this is the promised land, even you live in the promised land, the land of the blessed, you can be perished. You can be destroyed. Even the promised land of the Canaan. So when you are saved, it's not the everything. It's not secure permanently. What is the destroy or perish in spiritual meaning? It doesn't mean what you own and what you have is the perish and destroyed. In spiritual meaning, it can be you're successful in the world. But when it says spiritually perished and destroyed, it's a you lost to the word of God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, you put all your effort and save the money and fill your bonds, and tonight if I take your spirit soul and who owned this your asset? So I want you to listen from the speech of the Joshua when he's 110 years old, with all his experience. So chapter 24 reminds the history and its lesson. We cannot understand the Bible without this understanding of the history. We have to see through the history how covenant made to Abraham and it kept by the Moses, and finally Israel became an owner of the Canaan. So when you are sitting here, you should have an understanding why God called you here. What purpose? You're not just living in Melbourne and you gather in one of the church buildings today. Because there was a calling of the God and the purpose of the mission. That's why you are here. You should understand this based on this history of the Bible. Joshua wants all the Israel not to be deceived by the secular world and choose the promise of the God. That's why he first determined and himself and his household all worship God himself only. So we shouldn't understand the Bible as a surface level or as an information, or not just an application on your mobile phone. You have to engrave them in your heart, in your life. So your life should have an aroma of Christ, scent of the Christ. So believing Jesus is not the method to be saved. This is the beginning of the true relationship with God. So we need to have a personal relationship with God. Then our faithful life will be on the right track. So I want you to decide today, like Joshua. Have a determined. Book of Joshua tells us the field, or how to live in the field of the Christian, field in the war. When you fail, it helps you how to come back to the mission, the place of mission. How can we fight the strong enemy in our daily life? Joshua clearly say, all the Christians should choose live according to the word of God. There is nothing can make you not to follow the word of God. There is only but just yourself. When they learn the word of God, what you have to is to live accordingly. It doesn't really matter how your enemy is strong or not. It depends on your faith. If you take a step with faith, God will destroy enemy and drive them out. Israel could drive the enemies out of the land, not because they have a better chariot, better weapon, or they were stronger. No, because they trust God. They obey to the God. So whatever situation, difficulty comes, I want you to leave and commit yourself to the God as a priesthood, not to make an excuse. And I want you to repent making excuses, and also determine live according to the word of God. Give your life to the word of God, to the God. The land that we given today and sent today, let us live for the mission we given from the God. Let's pray.